Hello, special education strategists. Today we are talking about services and supports for students identified as hearing and visually impaired. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. I am a mom of three and have sat on both sides of the IEP table as a parent and a professional. The world of special education can seem overwhelming and scary, to say the least, even as a parent. And I have had extensive special education training, but I've got you. In my solo episodes of the Special Education Strategist, I'm here to break down the IEP process, help reduce the stress, and empower you and your child. I have learned at that IEP table to improve outcomes, be informed, be prepared, and become a partner with that IEP team. If you're new to special education, feel like your child should be evaluated for special education, or just a curious learner, join me as we dive in and strategize and take your special education worries to wins. As we know, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA, is a federal law that guarantees a free and appropriate public education, FAPE, to children with disabilities, including those who are blind, visually impaired, or deaf. The Individualized Education Program, IEP, is a written plan that is developed for each student with a disability who is eligible for special education and related services under IDEA. The IEP outlines the services and accommodations that the student will receive to meet their unique needs. Imagine being a young child who is blind or visually impaired, and you are expected to navigate through a new environment without assistance. You may feel scared, alone, overwhelmed. This is why it's so important for parents and educators to provide children with the support they need to learn and grow. Now let's consider a child who is deaf or hard of hearing. Imagine trying to learn in a classroom where you can't hear the teacher or your classmates. It can be incredibly frustrating and isolating. But with the right accommodations, these children can excel in their education and achieve their goals. So what can we do to support students who are blind, visually impaired, or deaf? Let's take a look at some simple facts and tips. According to the National Federation of the Blind, only 10% of blind or visually impaired children are currently learning to read and write in Braille. If your child is blind or visually impaired, advocating for their rights to learn Braille is important. Braille provides access to literacy and independence in a way that other accommodations cannot. Speak with your child's school or a Braille literacy specialist to learn more about Braille instruction. Another fact, deaf and hard of hearing students may experience delays in language development if they don't receive early intervention services. So early intervention is key. We know that for all of us students. So if you suspect your child may be deaf or hard of hearing, talk to your pediatrician, request a hearing screening. If your child is diagnosed with hearing loss, seek early intervention services as soon as possible. These services include speech and language therapy, assistive technology, and even family support. Assistive technology can be a game changer for children who are blind, visually impaired, or deaf. Work with your child's school or a specialist to identify the assistive technology that can be best support for your child, your student's needs. And this may include screen readers, magnifiers, hearing aids, cochlear implants, or other devices. A parent once shared with me that when their son was born and they realized that their son was without sight, they were very overwhelmed and scared. But with the help of teachers and therapists, their child, their student flourished, and Braille was critical for their literacy development. They also found technology such as screen readers and magnifiers to be incredibly helpful. I also heard from another family of a deaf individual, and their advice was coming from that growing up deaf and hard of hearing was super tough, but with the right accommodations, deaf and hard of hearing, they were able to be successful in school and life. And as a parent, it was important for them and for all of us to advocate for their child, for their needs, to provide them with access to language, whether that was through sign language, spoken language, a combination of both. And this parent was passionate about it, and I feel the same. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for support. Find your community, find folks that have been in this position, and ask them what they did and ask them for their tricks and similar experiences. And so through my experience and then talking with others, I've kind of come up with some out-of-the-box accommodations that could be considered to help support students with hearing and vision needs that may help you guys with through this podcast as well. So for children with visual impairments, perhaps consider providing 3D models of objects and diagrams to help the child understand complex concepts in science or math. Use scented markers or tactile cues to help the child navigate through the classroom or identify different areas of materials. Use audio descriptions or podcasts to supplement classroom lectures or videos. Provide a peer buddy system where a sighted student can assist the child with navigation or other visual tasks. Offer sensory experiences to enhance learning, such as feeling different textures or experimenting with sound. For a child or student with a hearing impairment, use a vibration device such as a vibrating watch or pager to alert the child of important information, such as when it's time to transition to another activity or class. Provide a visual cue or hand signal to get the child's attention in class or during group discussion. Use role-playing exercises to help the student practice social interactions and communication with peers and adults. Provide captioned videos or online resources for independent study or homework, and offer assisted technology tools such as speech-to-text software or sign language translation apps to help students participate in classroom discussions or communications with teachers and peers. Of course, these are just a few examples of many accommodations that could be considered for students with hearing and vision needs. It's important to be creative and think outside of that box to find solutions that work best for each individual student. I am a huge proponent for that. In the IEP, specific training for staff and special devices can be included in the section of supports, modifications, and accommodations. This section outlines the specific services and supports that will be provided to help the child achieve their goal and make progress in their education. Under this section, you can specify the type of training that staff members will need in order to support the student effectively. This is really important to keep in mind so that everybody understands who is getting trained, what they're getting trained on, where it's happening, when it's happening, so everybody is on the same page. So for example, if a child with a hearing impairment requires the use of a specific type of amplification device, you can indicate that staff member will need training on how to use and troubleshoot the device, as well as how to monitor the child's use of the device and ensure that it's functioning properly. Similarly, you can include information on any special devices or equipment that will be provided to the child, such as a screen reader or Braille display. For a child with visual impairment, you could also indicate how these devices will be integrated into the child's daily routine and how they will be maintained and updated as needed. It's important to be as specific and detailed as possible in this section of the IEP, so that all parties involved understand exactly what supports and accommodations will be provided to that child. And this will help ensure that the child receives the appropriate services and that their needs are met effectively. Because remember, you're writing that IEP typically at some point for the year, and it will happen in the following year. So new people may be working with that student, your student. So you want to make sure everything's documented and then refresh the teacher and the team for that new year, but make sure everything is outlined of who, what, where, when, why, so everybody's on the same page of what device, how to use it, how to troubleshoot, who has the training, if the child needs the training, and be really clear, be creative of what works best, work collaboratively as a team, and I hope this helps make it a great day. Bye for now. Again, I'm your host, Wendy Taylor. I'm obsessed with helping families and professionals bridge learning gaps, access special education services, and create pillar IEPs. Thank you again for strategizing with us and spending your precious time listening. If you love what you've heard, share this episode with a friend and give us a like and follow at Learning Essentials. If you need more special education support, visit learningessentialsedu.com, where we provide individualized and systematic approach to supporting students with various learning needs and differences through academic coaching, educational therapy, and Brain Camp, our executive function support model. Need IEP coaching? I've got you covered. Visit learningessentialsedu.com for additional information. Again, bye for now.